Well, it's shaping up to become one of the world's most significant free trade deals. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, or the TPP, is a multinational trade deal involving 12 countries, including the US, Japan and Australia. And if finalised, it would account for 40% of the global economy. The latest round of these talks have just concluded in Brunei, though there are still plenty of sticking points in the negotiations. One of the big questions for all of us here in Australia is whether a change of government on the September the 7th would mean a change in Australia's position on key issues, including investor-state dispute provisions, which would allow foreign corporations to sue countries in order to protect the profitability of their investments. Patricia Ranald is the convener of the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network, and she's been in Brunei for this meeting. She's still there. Patricia, hello. Thanks very much for joining us.
Greetings from Brunei. The negotiations are still continuing, actually.
Oh, they're going on. This meeting was designed to speed up the process of the TPP. It was a functional meeting in that sense. Has it achieved that goal?
No, they had a meeting of ministers. Not all ministers attended, but it was very clear from the statement at the end of the ministers' meeting before the negotiations that they haven't succeeded in speeding up the agenda because they themselves said there were still major differences.
One of the major differences, as I just mentioned, is this so-called investor-state dispute clause, the ISD clause. Can you explain for us what that is?
Yes, it allows a single foreign investor to sue a government for damages if a law or policy harms their investment. Now, we didn't have this in the US-Australia Free Trade Agreement. Even the Howard government didn't agree to it. But we're experiencing it now over the tobacco plain packaging legislation because the Philip Morris company found an obscure Hong Kong-Australia investment agreement which had this clause in it and is now suing the Australian government for damages over the plain packaging legislation, despite the fact that our High Court found that it was a public health measure and they didn't deserve any monetary compensation for it.
So Philip Morris is currently suing Australia under some global agreement in an international kind of court over plain packaging.
That's right.
And you're suggesting there could be more of this if this investor-state dispute clause is included in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. For instance, I mean, one that comes to mind is you could have a mining corporation looking to sue a government that prevented a mine going ahead for environmental concerns or something.
Yes, and in fact there's a very pertinent example of this in Canada under the North American Free Trade Agreement. A US mining company, the Lone Pine Company, is currently suing the Quebec provincial government in Canada because they put an environmental review on coal seam gas mining. Now, in Australia, we've had similar environmental reviews by the Conservative state government, in this case in New South Wales, and they've just tightened the regulation for coal seam gas mining because it was demanded by farmers and rural communities. So these sorts of things could happen in Australia more frequently, and they could happen more frequently around the world if 12 countries agree to have this provision in the trade agreement.
So what's the likelihood of this? What's Australia's position on this clause?
Well, the Australian government has listened to the concerns of communities and groups like ours and has developed a policy of saying no to this provision. A number of other countries have doubts about it, and I think the recent revelation that the US is not going to exempt tobacco products from the agreement makes it less likely that some countries will agree to it. The US government said they were going to exempt, put in a provision which would exempt tobacco products, but they've been lobbied by the tobacco companies and they've now withdrawn that proposal, put in a much weaker proposal, which won't prevent investors from suing governments. And of course, this is a favourite weapon of the tobacco companies. Mm. The Philip Morris company is also suing the Uruguay government in South America, and it's threatened to sue governments like the Canadian government.
You think that kind of action might not be very popular with local electorates? The governments might be wary of that. We're in an election campaign here at the moment, of course. Is there a view that Australia's negotiation position here would change if we have a change of government, or are both the government and the coalition on the same page?
Well, John Howard didn't agree to it in the US-Australia Free Trade Agreement, but the current opposition, Julie Bishop, the spokesperson, is saying that the opposition party would be prepared to negotiate on this point, so they won't adopt a position of flat opposition. We're concerned about that, but we also think that there will be a big debate about it, because if you think about, for instance, coal seam gas mining, a lot of people who would be concerned about governments having the ability to regulate that are part of the opposition's constituency. So although their policy is weaker than the current government, we as civil society groups will certainly be working with communities to make a big debate about this.
It's 11 minutes.
There is a change in government policy.
We're speaking with Patricia Ranald from the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network. She's in Brunei, where there's a meeting going on between the countries involved in the negotiating the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Patricia, we've talked about some of the negatives, the more scary elements of the potential of this, but what are the potential trade benefits? Is this a positive by and large?
Well, they're a bit elusive. The US, for instance, which is the largest economy involved, has said that it won't give additional market access to those countries which already have free trade agreements with it, and Australia is one of them. So, for example, we didn't get any additional access to the sugar market in the US from the US-Australia Free Trade Agreement, and that's still not being offered under this agreement. When you talk to negotiators, they say, oh, well, there may not be immediate economic benefits, but in the long run it will set up the architecture for trade agreements in the Asia Pacific. We're concerned, though, that it's going to be bad architecture because of not only, we think there's going to be very limited market access and we might have to pay a very high price.
And it's all pretty, just finally, it's all pretty low key, isn't it? A lot of this debate's happening fairly under the radar.
Yes, well, with negotiating rounds like this, there is some media presence and civil society groups like myself are able to observe and present our views to negotiators for half a day. But what we're worried about is, because of the rush to finish, they've now programmed a series of what they call intersessional meetings, where there'll be no media and no civil society.
Okay.
So we're asking that the negotiations be above ground, not underground, and also that the text of the agreement actually be made public before it is signed by any government, so that we can really see the detail.
That sounds like a very good idea. Patricia, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Patricia Ranald is from the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network, and she's been one of the groups involved in putting their arguments before the negotiations taking place, discussions taking place in Brunei at the moment as part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's 9 minutes to 9.